You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 159 of Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network.
This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Sophia, I know that you had just sent out those fall newsletters for the Wessa memberships, and it included some fun new facts about the Wessa membership. But tell me, what's your favorite fun fact from the list?
Yes, we kind of wanted to share some more information about our community, just because our community really keeps growing. And it's been a little while since we've celebrated our 100th anniversary. And it's really fun to see how many of our members have such a long-standing connection to Wessa. We just ran the numbers, and the longest-standing active and also exhibiting member has been with us since 1971, so over 50 years of Wessa history.
That's scary. 1971 can't be 50 years ago.
Yes. Well, to give you some other fun facts, our newest member just joined 2 days ago, which is also exciting. So,
so fun.
And speaking of a long time ago, our guest today is with a company who's been around for, let's count it, 90 years. And his name is John Lunn. And he serves as vice president at Morris Media Enthusiast Group and is also the chief revenue officer for the Nashville Stampede. And in his role, John oversees a diverse portfolio of many iconic publications, one of which is Western Horseman, another Barrel Horse News, and QuarterHorseNews.com. And welcome to the podcast, John Lunn. So how long have you been with Morris Media Enthusiast Group?
Yeah, so I've been with Morris Media Group 8 years. I started off in their sporting and outdoor group, and I'm still part of the Alaska Gray Sporting Journal team, and then joined the Western group and brands team in 2020.
So in the past nearly decade, what have you noticed in shifting in this space, specifically for the equestrians? Because I know media has moved around a lot and shifted a lot and changed a lot in every niche market, but specifically in the equestrian area.
Yeah, for sure. So we've experienced a whole lot of growth with the Yellowstone effect. So Western is just on a rocket ship. So we, at Western Horseman Group, we've got over 2.6 million followers, impressions, readers through social media, online, and our print editions. And really where it started was with our books division. So we're just super excited to kind of ride the wave of everyone being really passionate about Cowboy Code and that kind of flavor of kind of like, gosh, I don't know how else to say it other than just the passion of like who we are as human beings. And we want to get out of the city and into onto the ranch.
And who doesn't, right?
That's right.
That's right. So engagement is critical in this day and age. Engagement for every type of media. What are some of the effective strategies that you guys have come to appreciate for this both print and digital content? How are you getting people to engage?
Yeah, so, you know, it's all about the stories and the people. So we tend to have really good success, and so do our advertisers, as well as our consumers, by sharing and telling authentic stories. So for us, it's about connecting with the personality, the person who trains, the person who does the work and or owns, breeds, trains horses, for example. So like that's our passion is we have to share those stories either through video, reels, quick bits, headlines. You'll notice that there's sales. So the return to the Bermuda sale just happened. this past weekend, and there's some King Ranch horses there. And again, those storytelling pieces are pre-shot, pre-produced, and then shared with the consumer, so the buyers. So for us, it's about distribution and then making sure we share connections with the personalities.
So how do you balance this? Because Morris has a very diverse portfolio. So how are you balancing each different brand identity? Because Western Horseman and Alaska Magazine, for example, they both are outdoorsy, but very different audiences. So how are you balancing out keeping those identities, but still growing the portfolio as a whole?
Yeah, so separate teams. So if you think about it, that Alaska audience is typically here in the lower 48, and they travel to Alaska, or they're expats that served in Alaska or worked on the pipeline up north and then retired here in the lower 48. So that audience and that group, how we connect to them is we're part of them. We understand who they are. We attend their events. We've traveled with them, and they're sharing their stories through our eyes, through our editor who lives in Kodiak and then also has a place in Colorado, for example. And the same with the equestrian audience. So our equine team, especially in Western Horsemen, is like, we're on the ranch. We're with our breeders, our owners, our parent company, the Morris family, owns and breeds horses and has property in Augusta, Georgia, for example, in South Carolina. So we're connected to that because we live that life. So if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Attending the WESA trade show, how does that benefit your group? Because it's a trade show where retailers and wholesalers to get together. It's not an immediate thought to say, oh, as a media company, we should be there.
For sure. So number one, I think everyone knows us because of our annual calendars. So the Western Horseman Books Division is really where we connect with the WESA group. And so we've got our Legend series, our annual calendars, those that still purchase and grab a calendar. And then, of course, it's apparel and products. And Western Horseman celebrates 90 years in existence this next year. So if you think about when the Hoover Dam was built, we've been around a long time, and we were established by Paul Albert, which was our founding editor. And we kind of take a piece from his script, which was Western Horseman is really the National Geographic of the West. So for us, we're still sharing all of those stories, authentic connections with folks like that live and ranch and cowboy on the King Ranch, on the Sixes, on the Babbitt Ranch. And so again, the O'Neill families and McLaurys and the Majors and the Camerons. So for us, gosh, it's always about like sharing stories of the West, because there's some ethereal, passionate protection of like why us as human beings like to be out on the land, right?
Exactly. So I'm going to circle back around a little bit, because the media industry, as I said, is morphing in crazy cool ways that nobody could have predicted, I'm sure. So what are some of the ways that you encourage your readers to consume digital as well as print content? Because they should be able to complement one another, because there's always this, well, print's going to disappear. How do you get one to support the other?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have so many folks that still love to consume the print version of our products that a couple of good ways is just to say, I'm reading a print edition, and I'll pick on Alaska for a minute. And there are folks that still read Alaska Magazine, but they may be in Jerusalem. They may be in the Caribbean. They're somewhere in Europe. So this is where they want to be proud that they're connected to either their home or phase of life that they lived and worked and played in Alaska. So they're connecting by sending us weekly, and this is at least twice to three times a week, connections to their favorite product. And it is the consumable called Alaska Magazine and or Western Horseman, the same thing, where we get emails every day from folks that still need to learn about their horses on their ranch, or again, a breeding tactic or training. So we're always trying to connect both by sharing those immediate stories in social posts, through reels, through email, and online. But then also the deeper dive is to learn, right? Is to learn a little bit more, to get a little bit better. So that's kind of how we connect all of those.
And when you attend WESA twice a year, every year, it's all about person-to-person, face-to-face relationships. That's what WESA is all about, which I've always found are still key, despite the fact that in this day and age, so much of business happens remotely. Many places, you don't even go to work anymore. You work remotely from your home or an office space that is away from the home base. When you attend WESA, do you find that you are supporting current relationships? Are you creating new ones? What does that look like for you each time you attend?
Yes, all of the above. It's so critical for us to be where it's a couple of points. One is where things are happening for all of our partner brands. So if Wrangler's got a new product or something that's made their products better, we need to know about it so that we can share that with our audience that follows. So again, back to the 2.6 million that are following us at Western Horseman, like we're the connector, right? We're the piece that makes sure we're sharing those new features or tips for our consumers so that they're aware and or have a heads up that it's going to be around the corner. So we're just excited to make sure we're there at WESA Market, sharing some of the insider baseball to what are the things, who are the people that we need to know, and or what are the new brands that are also showing at WESA Market. So for us, we're just always really excited to be in front and out in front and with our consumers, which are also our partners. And it's at the cash register, right? That's where
connections
take place. So we just have a lot of fun talking about the stories and I guess the why people purchase every day.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So coming up, everybody looks forward, especially when you go to WESA, it's all about what's going to happen next. What are some of the products that Morris Media Enthusiast Group have coming up that have gotten your teams really excited?
Yeah, we're excited about our 90th, and I already alluded to that. So again, to turn 90 years old as a business, you just look back and go, that is quite an accomplishment. So, and I believe, like I referenced National Geographic, they're about 100 years old. So for
wow, you're in some pretty snazzy company, huh?
We are old, which is good. You know, this is the piece where we're your granddaddy's magazine and we're your magazine per se. But look, we've been around a long, long time. We try and share, like Jeff, two generations, four generations back to our cowboy code and the stories that really come to life. And for us, we're excited about a couple of things. One is our 1936 collection. So again, this is back to the 90th and patting ourselves on the back. And it's like, it's not your granddaddy's apparel. So back to all apparel that we've got at Western Horseman. And that website is shop.westernhorseman.com. And then we've got a lot of art coming out as well. So we've got an artist contest for our January edition. So that is really a whole lot of fun for the artists and Western art in particular. So again, we're super excited about that. And then again, it's all about just subscribing and continuing to share, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, on our website, or through subscribing. So
that sounds really fascinating. Delve a little bit more into how that's going to work and what it's going to look like to me, the consumer, who is one of your followers.
Yeah. So the 90th will have a couple of things. One, great content throughout the year. We're still the only 12-time magazine out there. So in the Western space in particular, we love that we're reaching your mailbox on the print edition every single month. Then daily, you've got social posts and our website, as well as VIP newsletter information. So again, the ins and outs. So for you, places to go and to learn more about Western Horsemen would be the shop.westernhorseman.com. So of course, you can go there and subscribe and buy and purchase all the cool things that we've got, plus the calendar, of course. And then really, it's just about making sure you see us live and in person, whether we're at a team roping event called the Sunshine Classic or the Sunburn, which is located in Arizona or Decatur, Texas. And then you also find us at a few events like National High School Rodeo, as well as NFR and at Futurity events across next year or so.
So with live events, I've always enjoyed the live events when I work with through working through Horse Radio Network. I love going out and meeting people who listen to our shows in person. What are some of the criteria that you guys use to decide which live events you're going to attend?
Ah, good question. So it does depend on the audience as well as the products that we have to offer. But, you know, Western Horseman really covers a wide range from the performance horse through the ranch horse folks. So for us, it is about how can we be an asset or a value to the partnership. So at High School Rodeo, for example, we sponsor and support a tradecraft showcase for all the students. So we give away scholarships in partnership with High School Rodeo Association. And a lot of those students will design their own shaps, their own bits, their own art, crafts, handicrafts, things of that nature that are all Western, utility, usable, tack and gearish. So for us, it's just really, really good to support like multiple generations. So I probably answer my question as far as like, look at where there are 3-4 generations of attendees and competitors, and you'll actually find us there.
You guys really do lean heavily into the history and the heritage in everything you do. That's really cool.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. Well, back to us being 90, right?
Right there. There's a reason, right?
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason. And back to the Boots O'Neill and the Wes O'Neill and the Buster McLowry's and the Baxter Blacks, you know, bless his soul. And Charlene Morgan, who recently passed, you know, we have decades of experience and generations that have followed Western Horsemen in particular. And so we've got to continue to like carry that flag and then pass it down to our children and grandchildren. So,
well, it grounds everything you do. Everybody talks about how understanding and appreciating what came before grounds you as you go forward. It gives you something to step off of. You can't get on a ladder until you step on the lowest rung, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of going forward, if you had a crystal ball, and none of us do, we don't have a crystal ball, but we do. Let's look into the water trough, sure. The glistening water trough. Where do you see this niche media, the equestrian niche media and the outdoors niche media going in the next 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, live events. So this is back to live events is really where us human beings learn. So I feel like there's more live events driving education, driving connection for us. And then we've got to share that education. And we still have to be storytellers to a certain degree. So again, you'll see that through video, podcasts like this. So this is how we will be able to share in real time and quickly our stories, right? So this is how we learn. This is how we educate. So you're going to see that, I believe, continue to expand. AI will help us from a technical standpoint and make it easier for us to subscribe, to buy, to learn faster. So I think that's another piece of it too, but it's got to get a little bit better and a little bit smarter, because it's still going to take us human beings to create the content and to tell the stories and to ask the right questions of each other. So,
yes.
You'll see a similar like content base, but I believe you will see the storytelling pieces be a whole lot shorter, since we're consuming a lot of information in a short amount of time. So yeah. our brains have to have the capacity to learn. And, you know, this is that most of us learn by either listening audio or we'll visually see what we need and read what we need. The kinesthetic version is doing so. And that's a small portion of the planet. So again, we've got to hear it. We've got to see it. And then we've got to absorb. So it'll take some of that time. But I just see this continued growth that'll just morph a little bit with the advancements in technology. So, and it's nothing to be afraid of. Like, let's keep at it.
There we go. And I agree. Anybody who's used AI for anything successfully already knows that it's no different than having an online thesaurus was 30 years ago. It's another tool, but the people who are going to use it successfully are the people who learn to use it successfully. It's not just a case of type in two sentences and voila, it's magic. It's not.
It's a tool to be used, right? And you're absolutely right. When computers came out, you know, went with all of the transition on and audio, you're absolutely right. So, yeah.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, John, for taking a little bit of time out of your day to join us here on Wisdom by Wessa. And hopefully I will get to shake your hand next time I head out there.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, and I appreciate it.
Links from today's shows are in the episode show notes and at wisdombywessa.com. Subscribe to Wisdom by Wessa on Apple Music, Spotify, or where any podcast player is, and don't miss out on all the news for manufacturers and retailers in the equine industry.
Wisdom by Wessa is published on the 15th and the 30th of the month, so go sign up now.